Kum lernen a blat Gemara. We are up to Daf Lamed Hey Amud Aleph, and by the two dots, which should be roughly in the middle of the page, we're discussing twilight. We have different opinions as to where, three opinions as to when twilight is. So now we concluded. We discussed Rabbi Yehuda, who has the longest one, and within Rabbi Yehuda itself, we had an argument with Rabbi Yosef whether it's 3/4 of a meal or whether it's 2/3 of a meal. Now, obviously, today twilight is a lot longer because it really depends where you are, what time of the year it is, and what your latitude is as well. So says the Gemara. Nechemiah says, "Kidei shi'halach adam mishtashka chama chatzi mil." And Nechemiah is of the opinion that it's the distance of a half a mil, which a mil is 18 minutes, so it's 9 minutes, or 24 is 8 is 12. Amar says, "Haroitza leida shi'yuda shiram Nechemiah." If you want to know the time length of Rabbi Nechemiah, "Yaniach chama b'reish ha'karmel." You're on Mount Carmel, and you see the sun there, because when you're higher up, you can see the sun. V'yated, you should go down. V'yitbo b'yam, go take a dip in the ocean. V'yala, climb right back up. Zewa shiura na Nechemiah. Obviously, you got to do this really quickly. And that's the time span of Rabbi Nechemiah. Omer Abchia, talking about Har Carmel, Abchia says, Haroitza lila is be'eda shem Miriam. If you want to see Miriam's well that Eden had 40 years in the Midbar, Yale l'roisha Carmel, go to the top of the Carmel. The Yitzpel look, you will look, Yida, and you will look down, and you will see Kimin Kibra B'yam. See, it looks like a sieve inside the water there. Zui be'eda shalia, and that is the well of Miriam, which actually different midrashim. Here the Gemara says it's near Har Carmel. Other places says near Hayyishimin and Shachnar Chach and Hitler Shabbos. It says that the be'er travels all over the world, and that's why Mitzray Shabbos drinking spring water is supposed to be as gula, a good omen. Omer Rav, says Rav, we learn out from Be'er Shem Miriam that a Mayan HaMetaltel, if you have a spring and coming from a rock and it moves around, toid. We don't say it's a Keli, it's like Mayim Sh'uvim, water coming out of a Keli, of drawn water in a utensil. It makes it possible. This is not considered drawn water from a utensil. V'zeo Be'er Shem Miriam. And this is, they're talking about the Be'er of Miriam. It's not considered a utensil. Okay, because that's the only one that is actually moving around. So from this piece of Gemara here, it seems that it actually moves around. It's not standing in one place, which is like the Shulchan Aruch near the Shabbos. Amar Rav Yehuda. Somebody, sorry? If somebody can mute themselves with your background noise. Amar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, Amar Shmuel, in the name of Shmuel, that Bein Hashmoshes the Rav Yehuda, that the twilight, according, now you remember that Koyanim, if they're Tamei, they have to go to the mikveh, and they called out a Tavu Yoyim, they went to the mikveh by day, and they have to wait till sunset. This is the very first Mishnah Brachas, before they can go ahead and eat from the Truma. So they have to wait till actually the stars come out. So he's saying here that Bein Hashmoshes Rabbi Yehuda, that twilight period, that Rabbi Yehuda calls twilight, Koyanim Tovluboy, Koyanim can still go to the mikveh during the twilight. Now remember, twilight is, we said before, three different possibilities, but it's questionable if it's considered day or night. And yet the Gemara seems to say they could go to the mikveh as if it's day. Says Gemara, man, according to who are you saying this? Ilay mele Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that this is considered twilight, sveiku. We're not, it's a suffix. We don't know if it's day or night. How can they go to the mikveh then? Elevein hashmashas Rabbi Yehuda, that period of twilight, which Rabbi Yehuda considers twilight, according to Rabbi Yosi, who says that the entire twilight is the blink of an eye, Koinim Tevba, he holds that the majority of that time of Rabbi Yehuda is actually still day, and therefore Koinim can go to the mikveh because it's still considered day. So Rabbi Shita, obviously, Rabbi Yosi says that his twilight is only a split second, so obviously before then, you can go to mikveh. What's the novelty here? Name, Mawate, I would have thought. Bein Hashmoshes de Rabbi Yosi, Meshech Shayech be Rabbi Yehuda. I would have thought that they overlap. Rabbi Yehuda, let's say, says 3/4 of a meal, or 2/3 of a meal, and Rabbi Yehuda says not that full extent of time, but the last couple of seconds. So I would have thought they overlap, and therefore, that maybe even according to Rabbi Yehuda, they shouldn't go to the mikveh. Kamash Milan comes to teach you that no, the Shalim ben Hashmosh Rabbi Yehuda, the Hodr Maschil ben Hashmosh Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's twilight begins only after Rabbi Yehuda's twilight ends. In other words, not like they overlap. Rabbi Yehuda says that the entire twilight of Rabbi Yehuda for me is considered day. When does twilight begin? Immediately after, for a very short time. And that's the chiddush that Rabbi Yosi says you can go to a mikveh during the entire twilight of Rabbi Yehuda. Omer Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Yechon, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda l'inyan Shabbos. As far as Shabbos is concerned, the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda, we are machmir that you bring in Shabbos early because Ben Hashmosha starts from Shkia when the sun sets. But the halacha k'Rabbi Yosi l'inyan Truma. When it comes to Truma, the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, that we're going to be, that the twilight actually starts later. And in other words, it sounds like from here that Rabbah wasn't sure if the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, like Rabbi Yehuda, so we're machmir in each place. Takes already asked, he could have said in Shabbos itself. Friday night, we are machmir like Rabbi Yehuda, and Mitzvah Shabbos, we are machmir like Rabbi Yosi. But he was looking for other examples as well. And Teza says, if you want it, because obviously in Shabbos, Rabbi Yosi is Mekel, and we want to say that even a Truma, which is more lenient, Rabbi Yehuda is Machmir. Anyway, says the Gemara, okay, I understand. So you're saying you want to be Machmir. So Bishlem, Halach, Rabbi Yehuda, Shabbos, Lechumra, you tell me the Shabbos will be Machmir, Rabbi Yehuda, it's very easy to understand. Because Friday night, we're going to bring in Shabbos earlier, we're going to follow Rabbi Yehuda. Avelin your Truma, Mahi. What's the Chumra regarding Truma that you say we're going to follow Rabbi Yosi? In what respect? The Tevil, Ilem, the Tevil, till what time Kainim can table. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they can only table to Shkia. According to Rabbi Yosi, they can table until the very last second. So Rabbi Yosi, in fact, is being Mekel, not being Machmir. So Sveiki, why are we, since we're not sure of the Allah, like who, why are we being so lenient when it comes to Truma? As Gemara, you're right. Ela Achila, told me Kainim cannot eat until the stars come out, until it's definitely night. They cannot eat immediately after the twilight of Rabbi Yehuda. They have to wait a little bit longer till the twilight of Rabbi Yosi is over. They won't eat truma until the twilight of Rabbi Yosi, until the twilight of Rabbi Yosi is over. Omer Ibn Mishmuel, talking about Ben Hashmoshes and night. Koicher echad, if you see one star, yoin. It's still definitely only, it's definitely day. Shnayim, if you can see two stars in the horizon, Ben Hashmoshes, that's twilight. If you see three stars, Lila, that's definitely night. This is where the three stars come from. Taina Machri learned, Koich Rechad Yain, one star is day, Shnai two, Bein Hashmash is twilight, and Shalisha three, Lila is night. Omar Rabbi Yehuda says, when we say stars, Leika Chavim Gedolim Haninim, we're not talking about the very large stars that can be seen during the day. Leika Chavim Ketanim, not the very miniature stars, so Ein Nidin Elalai, the only one is really dark. And Lebanian, the average size star. So when we say, you know, one, two, three, we're talking about Benjamin. Omer Rabbi Yosi bar Zvida, ha'oisim melocha. If someone does a melocha in twilight, Friday night and Shabbos night, now we know if he definitely did an aveda by mistake, you bring a karbon chatas. If you're not sure if he did an aveda, you ate a piece of fats. You're not aware, you're not sure whether it was kosher or not, you bring an asham tovi. So he's saying over here, if somebody committed a melocha, Ben HaShmosh is Friday, and Ben HaShmosh is Shabbos, definitely you committed a malacha. So one or the other is either day or night. So definitely you did a malacha, and therefore you have to recover chattas. Ha'oisim malacha b'shnei Ben HaShmosh is chayiv chattas malachim, chayiv chattas malachim. If Ben HaShmosh is day, so Friday night is not a problem, but Shabbos Ben HaShmosh is a problem, because that's Shabbos by day. If Ben HaShmosh is night, then Shabbos night. And Rashi says it's talking about you did a malacha the entire Ben HaShmoshes. Because it's possible, we learned there's a third possibility, that part of Ben HaShmoshes is day, part of it is night. So how do you know that maybe on Friday you did the daytime and then Mitzvah Shabbos you did the night part? If Rashi says you worked through the entire Ben HaShmoshes on both nights, so definitely you were either. Omer Rav Shmai, Rav once said to his Shamish, Atan you, the Lekim Lechubish Yehudi Darabon, you're not so knowledgeable when it comes to this year of your twilight. So this is the rule. Adeshimsha adeshdikla, when you see the sun, when you're looking across the palm trees, which are tall, and you can see still the sun, atle, but it's like it's coming down, so you can hardly see a little bit of trace of the sun, atlu shraga, that's when you should light your candles, because that's right before Shkia. Says the Gemara, what about the young moon on a cloudy day, you can't look at the sun, my, what do you do then? So he says, Ebemasa, if you're in the city, Chazu, look at Tanagoyla, look at them, the hens, because they go on, right before the sun sets, they're all sitting there on their beams. and Bedabra, and if you're in the desert, Irvi, look at the crows and see what they're doing as well. They're sitting and relaxing right before the sun sets. Unami, or Adami, you look at a certain kind of a plant, some kind of something in the pumpkin family, that the leaves always tilt towards the sun. So in the morning, it tilts towards the east. During the day, it's vertical. And at night, it tilts towards the west, and it keeps on tilting more and more, so you can see already when it's roughly twilight. Says the Gemara further, Tanabam, we learned, Sheish Kiyas, it used to blow six times, taking Erev Shabbos. It used to blow six times Erev Shabbos to remind people of Summer Shabbos. You see that now in Shalayim and other parts of the world. In New York, we have sirens to remind people. So they used to have six. Now, when we're talking about six blowing, we're talking about Kiyas considered one, True was also considered one, and so on. So says the Gemara, there were six kiyas that they blow Erev Shabbos. Rishayna, the first kiyah is Lahaf Kilas Amim Melocha Shabbosadis. The very first one is for the people out in the field to put down the plows and everything else and start heading home. Because they live further out, so therefore it takes them more time to come home. Shniya, the second blowing is Lahaf Til Ir, that people in the city already should put down their tools and go home. The Chanuyas and the stores also shut down. Shlishi, the third blowing, is lahadlik esaneh, to light the candle, divir amnasin. So according to him, there was three. Rabbi Yehuda amnasin, shlishi is lachris tefillin. The third one was to remind everyone, because they used to wear tefillin all day, to remove the tefillin. And the fourth one was to light the candles. And then, after they light the candles, v'shoyeh, he waits long enough, k'day tzliyaz dokotin, long enough to be able to roast or grill a small fish. And oikidei lahad big pas betaner, or in order to attach bread to the oven. In those days, they used to, you know, attach the bread to the oven. There was a whole skill involved. Then v'tekeya umariya tekeya, blow another three times. The shavus, and that's when Shabbos begins. Now, if you remember, I told you there's a big machlekes based on this Gemara here. If when you light candles, you accept Shabbos, because Gemara seems to say you lit the candles, and yet afterwards you still roasted a small fish and you still put the oven in the bread in the oven, which shows that the lighting candles is not considered Shabbos. That's the Ramban. The Baha'i says no, definitely lighting candles brings in the Shabbos for everybody, and he's just talking about, it's only the person who blew the shofar, because he didn't light the candles yet. He then, you know, can do these activities before he makes the last blasts. We don't paskin like both. We paskin like the half like the Baha'i and half like the Ramban. The person who lights, for them it's Shabbos, like the Baha'i, and for everyone else in that family it's not Shabbos. Like the Ramban. And even according to the Baha'i, we said you can make conditions, because remember we had different opinions whether it's the lighting itself, or whether it's the bracha that you make, or whether it's the intention that you have. So two out of three, you can make a condition and say, I don't want to accept Shabbos. Nevertheless, someone has to accept Shabbos based on those lights within about 13 and a half minutes. Otherwise, it looks like you lit too early because you don't see the connection to Shabbos. Even if the woman makes a tanai, someone else has to, in that household, accept Shabbos within 13 and a half minutes. Amar Shem Gavlil. So you have then Kiyah, through it Kiyah, the end again. Amar Shem Gavlil. Manasseh and Babel. What do you do about these Babeloyim, the people from Babel? Shetoykin and Marin, they only blow a Kiyah, then do a true, and that's it. Rishayvson. And that's when they start Shabbos. The Toych Marin, they start Shabbos from finishing with a true. Says the Gemara, can't be, because Taikin Marin have the Chamisha. We had three blasts before, then you have only two more, Tki and Trua. And we just said that's six blasts. Ella, what they did in Bubble was Taikin, they used to blow. Then the Chayzin again repeated the Taikin Umarin, the Shayzin being Shabbos. The Taikin Marin, they brought in Shabbos right after the Trua. So the answer, meaning I was saying, be a day, that's their custom. And the difference maybe was that in it, Tki is a blast of victory, being triumphant. And Trua is a blast of the sorrow and, you know, crying and wailing. So in Babel they were in Chutz La'aretz, so they always finished their Tkiyah before Shabbos with a Trua, reminding them that it's still in Golis, and that they hoped to go to Tisrael. But Tisrael, they were living at Tisrael, Zeichid lived at Tisrael, so therefore they finished off with a Tkiyah every Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Masna Rabbi Levi Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda told his son, Shniya, the second candle is lahad lekesaner. He once told his son that the second candle is to, the second blowing, the second blast is to remind them to light the candle. Says the Gemara, who holds that? Come on, according to who does it go? Leiker Abnasi, Leiker Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Not from either one, because it's either the third blast or the fourth. Eli, you're right. Shlishi is lahad lekesaner, not the second, but the third. Come on, like who? Rav Nosson like Rav Nosson. Upon the Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel in his yeshiva said, Sheish Tki is taking Erev Shabbos, they used to blow six blasts on Erev Shabbos. And this was the procedure. His chilut koyet ki reshayin, began blowing the first blast, nimnu ha'imdim besodim mela'adim melachers, the people out in the field stopped plowing and weeding and all that, and melachers, komolachers, started doing any more activities in the field, and they started heading home. But the people who were those who were closer to the city would wait for the people who were further out to join them before they entered the city. The people who live close to the city were not permitted to enter until those who were far away would join them, and they would all enter at the same time. And the reason for that is because people will be choshed, because if the people close to the city were coming first, and people further out would come a little bit later, people will be choshed, they don't know where people work, and they'll think that these guys, you know, came with alacrity, enthusiasm for Shabbos, and other people were reluctant, and they stayed out longer than they should. Because of Maris Ayin, we did that. It's amazing how we are so concerned all the time what people will think about how we behave. Then, the stores are still open, they can buy their last-minute provisions. The way they used to have their stores in those days was that the doors, the shutters, could be portable, could be removed. They would then put four legs on the ground and put the shutter on top of it as if it's a stand, and then it would fill it up with their products, whatever it is. So these doors were still lying there as a table as to show their wares. Then Hitzchilat Koyat Kiyashnir, where they blew the second blast, then the Stalko had Tracen, that's when they removed these doors, the Ninir Luachanis, all the stores shut down. But the hot water was still sitting on top of the stove. The Gedeiris Menachem again, so were the pots, they were cooking for Shabbos. That's interesting. I mean, you ask somebody, why do you have Chamin? Chamin is usually to have soup, you have something hot. Or tea. Rashi says the only thing he could think of why they had chamin was when they used to dilute the wine, they used to use hot water. Obviously, it didn't have coffee and tea Shabbos morning in those days. So they had so they would have the pots on the thing. He's chilit koyat kish, which is when they began blowing the third blast. Silik hamasalik v'hikman hamatman. According to Rashi, there's two different activities. Silik hamasalik is the food that you need for that night. Is silica masalik, they took them off, and then hikmin hamatmi did hatmana, which means you concealed it. We learned about yesterday, which they covered it. They did that. That's the food you can have tomorrow. And remember, you can only allow to cover it in something that doesn't generate more heat. It's not meisiv hevel. Then the other learns all the same. They took it out in order to put it in hatmana. Why? Because why would they take the food out of the fire? We're going to see in the next parak. Maybe you can leave the food on the fire if it's more than halfway cooked. Anyway, we'll see. V'hidlik ha-madlik, and then the person would light the candle. V'shoyeh, he waited, k'detzliyaz do'kotun, l'gdilahad v'pasmatana, long enough to do the last minute things. Then v'tekeyeh, umariyeh, v'tekeyeh, v'shoyevis, and that's how you brought Shabbos in. Amr v'chani, shemaita heard, chimbola hadlik achar sheish tkiyas. If you, let's say, didn't light your candles yet, and even though you heard the sixth blast, it doesn't mean Shabbos immediately, it's still a couple of minutes, madlik, you can still light your candles. So nosnu chachamim shir, we have to give some time l'chazan haknesses for this shamish l'hoylich shofar beis, he has to carry his shofar back home. So therefore, we needed to give a little bit more time. Now the problem l'chayr wasn't the carrying, because it's Yerushalayim, it had a wall around it. But the problem probably was because it's muktzah. The shofar itself was muktzah. So therefore they have to give him a couple more minutes, and that's how you know that So therefore, if you didn't light it, you still have time. Amalai, they told him, in Cana, Sata, the Verecha, Lishiyurid. And then it doesn't make sense. You have to make one rule for everybody. The problem is, sometimes the Shamash lives right next to that tall building where they used to blow from, the tower, and sometimes they live far away. So if you live close, all they gave him was 2 minutes. If you live far away, give him 20 minutes. It can't work that way. So they said, no. Elamokum tsnur yeshla lechazan kezer gagay. That there was in that tower that he used to stand up with and blast the shofar, there was a locker there where he was able to place the shofar straight away. So Shabbos pretty much starts straight away after the last blast. Shoshomer the shofar, and there he leaves with aim at Talten. Why is it? Because of Muktzah. Loyes a shofar. Now forget about that, even though it's a Shosha Yochid in Tayyar Shalayim, it had made it. Nevertheless, he cannot bring the shofar back home because it's Muktzah. It says he's not allowed to move around. A shofar, the loyes a chatzit, nor the trumpets. So therefore, you know, I'll move them around. So therefore, you have to place them straight away down in this locker. So here it says that the shofar and the trumpet is muktzah. Says the Gemara have a contradiction, a couple other verses. But Tanya, we learn, shofar, mitalkel, shofar, you can move around. The shofar, you're allowed to move around the Shabbos. And you know why? Because the shofar has another use. Even though primarily it's a klishim lachtelisus for blowing an instrument. But you can also have a use it as a canteen. And you give it to kids to drink from. because it's curved, so therefore it can contain, it's like a receptacle, it can contain the water. A trumpet, which is flat, cannot contain anything. So the trumpet is definitely muktzeh, but shenken, the shofar, even though it's primarily used for something else, it can also be used for drinking, so it's not muktzeh. One place says a shofar is muktzeh, one place says a shofar is not muktzeh. If it's for a private individual, it's not muktzeh because you can feed it to your kid, use it for water. But if it's a public shofar, who are you going to feed with it? So therefore, it's muktzeh. Amalei Abaye asked a question, what do you mean? But v'yachid l'may chazi, what do you tell me? Why an individual is not muktzeh? Because hoyel v'rol l'gamei b'mayim, because you can fill it with water and give it to kid to drink. L'tinik b'tzibinami chazi g'mei l'tinik ani. The tzibur, the community, also has a responsibility to feed the poor, a child of a poor person, and therefore we can use the public shofar for that, the communal shofar. So why should it be muktzeh? But soon, further, I have a third braisa. So one braisa we had so far says that both muktzeh, the shofar and the trumpet. One braisa says the shofar is not muktzeh, but the trumpet is. And now we have a third braisa where it says, kishem shemetaltun, it's a shofar, just like you're allowed to transport the shofar, kach metaltun chatzetzes. You're allowed to also transport the trumpets. Mani, who's that? It's not a problem. There are three different opinions regarding muktzeh. Ha Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says that the shofar can be moved, but not the trumpet. He holds the muktzeh, and he holds that a kli shemalachti li'isr, a keli which is primarily used for isr, is asr. But he says, but a shofar is, since it could be used for permitted things, like to fill it with water to give a kid, so therefore a shofar, you're allowed to use it for, you're allowed to move it around. Mashenkin Chatzetz, the trumpet, has no permitted use. Ho Rav Shimon, the brass that says everything is all right is Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon doesn't believe in muktzeh at all, so therefore you're allowed to move the shofar, allowed to move the trumpet. And ho Rav Nechemia. And then the other one is Rav Nechemia. Nechemia is so machmer that he holds that even a kli that you want to use it for permitted purpose is not permitted at all. He holds that even a talus, you can only use a keli for its main use. And if the main use is iser, it doesn't matter if you want to use it for a heter, it's not allowed to be moved at all. So he holds it for the shofar is also muktzeh. Says the Gemara, umayi shofar nami chatzetzes. The Gemara asks a question. So if in the case of Nechemia, he says that it's forbidden to blow a shofar and forbidden to blow a trumpet. If you tell me that it's forbidden to blow a shofar, even though it has a permitted use according to Nechemia, then surely you're not allowed to move the trumpet. Why does he even have to mention the trumpet? So if it's my shofar, why mention it? So the Gemara answers that nami chatzetzes kirav chizda. No, in shofar, in fact, when Rav Nechemia said shofar and chatzetzes, it's the reverse meaning. Shofar actually means the trumpet, and chatzetzes means the shofar. And because shofar, therefore, what he said first was chatzetzes, and then he went to shofar. He just reversed the names. And we'll stop here and continue tomorrow why the names were reversed.